You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, Asbury. I hope you're doing well today, and it's my honor to interview Asa and Allison this morning. I met them on campus more as friends, and I've seen their heart for Christ, and I know that's what they want to share predominantly with you this morning. I'm going to be interviewing them, so I have five questions that I will be asking, and so if that helps you to track a little bit. One of the first questions is we've heard about their roles in public leadership, in public service, and in government, and I want to ask you both, how did you get involved in this? So what was that like? You know, maybe you were sitting in a seat like this one day, and you thought, what's God going to do with my life? And so how did you get involved?
So great question. I really do believe that God calls us into different areas of ministry, and I've really felt through my experience that God has called me directly into the world of government where I'm at. And it began when I was about your all's age. I remember that I was doing an internship in Frankfurt at the Capitol. And as part of that internship, I was helping my old high school with a Latin bill. Now that sounds kind of silly and strange, but at that point in time, we were trying to get something passed legislatively. And we thought, hey, this would be a great idea if we came up with the first Latin motto for the Commonwealth of Kentucky, which we did. And it was Deo gratias habemus. And some of you take Latin here, you may remember what that means. It means with gratitude to God. And it comes from the preamble of our Kentucky Constitution. So I had this internship, and I was helping my old high school, and we were working on this bill to get a Latin model for Kentucky passed, and it actually glorified God in its language. And it was this neat project we were working on. And I remember at that point in time, I was very involved in talking legislators into voting for this, along with some of my high school buddies. And I was one of the people at the table at committee to talk people into voting for this bill. And we were really praying for God to guide all this. We were all Christians and working on this, and I remember that we were in front of all these legislators, and we got peppered with questions, and they were asking us to translate things in Latin, and they were asking us all these details, and I remember them asking specifically about the language and whether or not it was unconstitutional. I remember saying, well, it's not unconstitutional because it came from the Constitution, and it would be a great one for us to have, and they all voted for it. They passed it. It was unanimous. It made its way all the way through the process, and then was signed by the governor at that point in time, but I had a clear moment when I was sitting at the table at the first committee hearing, and I was answering all those questions, and it was going really well. And I remember about your age, I remember sitting there, and I could clearly hear God say to me, this is what I can do with you. And it was a profound moment because I kind of had an interest in government, a kind of interest in politics, but I had a sense that God wanted to use me in roles like that. And through that process, I've since learned it's not just about getting bills passed, while that's good. It's not just about projects and audits and things like that. But there is a real profound opportunity for ministry. And sometimes it's one-on-one. It's the people on my staff. And sometimes it's talking to legislators. It's people that I have access to that I wouldn't have access otherwise. And sometimes it's getting invited to speak. So I got started through an internship, which I hope encourages right now, because you're going to be doing internships. You're going to be doing things. And I just pray that God speaks to you about the calling he has in your life through those opportunities.
Asa?
I'm really glad I wore socks today, being up here on this stage, because you are looking, you can see my socks. I wish they'd been better. When I was 14, Mom and Dad walked past the TV, and I was watching C-SPAN 2. And they were like, why is our son watching, not just even C-SPAN 1, but C-SPAN 2? Why? And anyway, so a couple years later, I wasn't old enough to vote yet, but the GOP nominated this senator named Bob Dole to run for president in 1996. And on the second night of his convention, his wife, Elizabeth, gave this amazing speech. And for the first time ever, she walked out into the crowd at a nominating convention, and it just electrified everybody. And the question was, well, why didn't we nominate her? Well, 3 years later, in February of 1999, I read in Yahoo News, Elizabeth Dole declares for president, and I thought, I want to help her. And then I thought, I'm a Kentucky boy from, you know, Campbellsville. How am I going to, you know, my parents don't have connections. We don't have money. How do we, you know? And so you all, I began to pray about it, and I just felt like I was supposed to help her. And so for 2 hours that night, I dug and dug into the internet to try to find her address because I knew they lived at the Watergate Hotel.
He's not a stalker, by the way.
Yeah, I know. And by the way, this is going to date me, but this is back when there wasn't open search. You had to like click down through like 10 to 15 subcategories. Okay, anyway, I found two addresses, and then that night I wrote the most, like the boldest letter of my life. And I basically said, this is who I am. This is who I think you are. This is why I think you should be president. And then the one I was like sweating, writing, this is what I can do to help you win. And you all, I sent it, and for 3 months, nothing. And I'm graduating. Like, I've been having my dad in my ear saying, hey, son, what are you going to do? You know, like, and he's doing his part, like, trying to encourage me. You got to have a job, and I don't have a job yet. And I was like, well, I'm going to trust in the Lord. He's going to get me a job. Well, then we get to the last week of the semester, and now I'm like, well, gosh, maybe I don't have a job. And you all, I go to the last chapel service, and I come back, and in the hour that we were at chapel, I went to Huntington, I had a phone call. And on my voicemail was Brad from the Elizabeth Dole campaign. And he said, Asa, Mrs. Dole read your letter, and I'm calling to offer you an internship. And you all, that created the timeline of why I'm sitting here right now. And that's how the Lord began to bring me into politics. But like Allison, it took me a while to admit this, but I really felt like God was calling me into serving government for him.
Yeah, so if we could carry the conversation a little bit forward, I wonder how, for the both of you, has God continued to show you the way? How has he opened doors, maybe even in hard times, and what is the real purpose? Like, why do you think you're in the roles you're in?
So much that can be said on that. Those are such great questions. So one way that I really felt led to go into the world of government was through God opening doors. I except for a few examples where I've really felt like I've heard God, like in that moment when I was sitting at the committee table and I felt like God saying, this is what I can do with you. A lot of what the path has been for me is God opening doors. I can see God's favor here, God using this here, God using this conversation. And that's how it happened. And just a quick God opening the door. I remember I went back home to Eastern Kentucky, where I'm from. So it's a town of about 3,500 people, and I was practicing law there. And I love being in a small town. It was a great place, but I really felt like God wanted me to get involved in government, wanted me to get involved in policy. And I remember God was doing a lot during that time because I wanted to get married and I wanted to have a family. And I'll talk about that tomorrow. For those of you who come in here, we'll delve into that a little bit. But I remember God telling me some things about, like, the word was wait. He kept telling me wait. And I thought, okay, like that probably means like wait on government, wait on running for office. But the doors were opening on running for office, and they were waiting on getting married and having a family. And it was interesting how that, like, that process coincided, and I'll talk about it tomorrow. But I remember there was a point where I was sitting in Pikeville, Kentucky at UPike, and it was a worship service that I went to with some friends, and I was practicing law back in my hometown of Prestonsburg, and God was just opening doors to be involved politically, and I just had this sense that God was saying, okay, I'm opening these doors for you politically, and I'm saying, wait, but the waiting is in some other areas. Like, I'm opening doors for you. And I had this sense of God saying to me, I am going to make you very good at what you're doing, but I want you, and the key to this is you have to be authentically a follower of me. And that has been like a guiding principle, a cornerstone of everything that I do, that I know, okay, Lord, you've blessed this, you've opened opportunities, you've given me chances to be in front of people, but the real key to this is that lesson of you have got to be authentically a follower of me. And I remember leaving there and then a few days later going to some political events, and I was starting to have conversations with people about what the Lord was doing in my life and some things like that. And I realized I was supposed to be carrying this like integrity, like this full, complete person of a follower of Jesus into everything that I was doing. And I think we're supposed to do that wherever we are and whatever we're called to do. But I had this very clear understanding that the Lord, whatever I was going to do that was going to be successful, is because God wanted me to be authentically a follower of him. And of course, we all know that great passage in the Bible, and I'm going to pull it up since I'm standing and sitting in front of you, and I don't want to mess this up. John 15:5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I felt like the Lord was just confirming that message that I felt like he gave me about, okay, you have to be authentically a follower of me. Now, that means a lot when you're involved in the government, because I'm somebody who runs for office, and there's a rough and tumble to running for office, and people say all kinds of the horrible things about you, and your friends sometimes aren't your friends anymore, and you just got to contend with all that. And it is a tremendous test and challenge to be a follower of Jesus when you've got people who are doing things that are not true, and they're trying to hurt you, and you feel like, look, I'm here for the right reasons. I'm trying to do a good job, and you get this all the time. And I remember this last election cycle, because I've been in this role that I'm in right now for a year and a half. I've had three elections. First one I ran, I'd never run for anything before, so that's an interesting experience to run for a statewide office without having run for anything before. But I remember this last time around, I had a primary. So those are people who are supposed to be in your friends, or the same party as you. And there's a lot of just harshness and negativity, and I just had the sense almost every single time I got up to speak that the Lord was like, don't engage with people lying about you, people being negative. Don't engage. Don't engage with that. Keep your eyes fixed on me. Talk about what you're here to do, what I put you to do. Talk about positive things and be who you are. And like, I remember I would get so nervous sometimes because I'd have people saying straight up lies, like really horrible things about me. And my hands would be shaking before I get up on stage because I would be upset about what I would be hearing. But there were times I just feel like, okay, the Lord's wanting me to really get centered in Him. And I would just be singing worship songs in my head. And it would be the thing that I would do to just sort of like, okay, I'm focused on what God has me here to do. I'm focused on Him and glorifying Him. So it takes some real commitment and conviction if you're going to jump into this game and do this in anything else as a follower of Jesus. But He's with you, and He's there, and He's got you there on purpose, and He wants to be with you in it.
Asa, could you share a little bit about your journey?
Yeah, I'll just mention that I had been asked when I lived in D.C. working on the Hill for my congressman. I got a call from my church saying, hey, could you drive a couple of these Mitch McConnell interns to your church? They need a ride. You know, they're here, they don't have a car. I was like, sure. And what came out of that is a year later, when the congressman from this district became governor in 2003, Ernie Fletcher, one of the guys that I'd driven to my church was on his campaign. And it had been 32 years since the GOP had been in power there in Frankfurt, so nobody knew what to do. They didn't know how to run the leaders of government. So there were all these calls out to find people with legislative work. And Brent, my friend, called me and said, would you want to come work in Frankfurt? And I was like, would I want to leave Washington, D.C. to come work in Frankfurt? No. You know? And then he said, well, he said it pays $60,000, and that would be like $90,000 now. And I was like, I'm listening, you know, because I was making $26,000 on the Hill. And anyway, but he said, well, pray about it because we need legislative people, one for each of the cabinets. And one of the ones I haven't found it is transportation, and that was one of my areas for my congressman that I handled for him just as an issue. And that is how I got that job. Like, he ended up, when I said, I think maybe the Lord wants me to do this, Brent went and put my resume on top of like hundreds, and Governor Fletcher's chief of staff saw it, called me, and then next thing you know, I get that job. And that's kind of how that happened. But I want to add to what Allison said. We don't have a lot of great examples of this, do we? Of like Christians serving in government. I will tell you, there's more authentic Jesus-following Christians in government than you think. But of course, that's not sexy, right? The media doesn't want to show that. There's more than you think, but sadly, what we often see is a lot of people who, I don't know if they're saved or not, right? Only the Lord knows a man's heart, but they're definitely not mature enough to see that when you follow Him, you have to follow His ways in every area of your life. And I ran for state representative in 2008, and my opponent was a believer, and I really do think that. And it was very dirty. And I would just sit there like Allison, my hands were shaking, but I was like gritting my teeth because for him, his faith stopped at the door of politics. And that was the breakdown, is just not trusting the Lord enough. Well, I don't have to use the world's weapons to fight. You know, I can trust the Lord and use our kingdom ways, our kingdom weapons like honor. And we've seen in the last week an amazing forgiveness shown. Like, what an example. Like, yeah, you know, hospitality, worship and prayer and Bible study, all these things. That's how we're supposed to war in this arena. So not that we get it right all the time. We don't. That's why we need those rivers of mercy for like the hundreds of decisions every day where we're trying to figure out, okay, does this glorify God or would this not glorify Him? How would He do it? But that is our lodestar, like entrusting Him as we like navigate these waters. And one last thing to it on this question that's funny. A lot of times we sit at our table and we just start laughing because we're like, we don't know what to do here. Like, how do we do this? Because we don't have people to call. You know, it's been pretty lonely, you know, and how do we bring the gospel into these halls of power? Because those people need the gospel too, right? They also need to hear. So it's been quite the journey.
You know, our political cycles, things are very tough. They're very turbulent. And when I was, the band was playing this morning, I was really focusing on the weak made strong. Mm-hmm. And we know it's hard. We know it's, this is a hard place to work in. And so I wonder, do you have some questions you ask yourself? You sit down at the table, we don't know what to do. This is a hard decision. How do we decide? How do you keep yourself in alignment with the kingdom of God?
Such a great question. So I do have a really committed practice of starting my day with scripture. There have been seasons of my life where I've started and ended, and that I've found to be is a tremendous anchor, dedicated times where I'm really praying through things. There are so many times where I'm trying to make a decision about what I'm going to do publicly or what I'm going to say, and I really do have to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray through it until I feel like, okay, I've got a peace about the direction I'm going to go. It helps to be married to somebody who also feels a call into this world, because we are in it together, and that double braided cord is pretty strong. Triple braided cord is even stronger. And so we've been blessed actually in just recent years to have had some people who've come alongside us and they pray with us. And I hire my team intentionally and well, and I've got several believers on my staff who, like my chief of staff, many, many times we'll be like, we got to pray about this. We got to seek God's direction. So it's all the same things that you do in whatever your calling is in life. It's all those same things. One thing that was really encouraging is that God brought us a group of intercessors in the last election cycle, and they've actually stuck around with us. I got a card in the mail yesterday. Ella, you handed it to me. Ella's an Asburyan, and she's on my staff. And she was like, hey, you got this card in the mail. And it was a lady who's a part of an intercessory prayer team. And she was like, I just want you to know, I'm praying these specific things for you today. And I don't know who she is. We were like, who is this lady? I have no idea. But she was praying some very specific things. And a lot of it was about being bold as you're working for the kingdom and his righteousness and pointing people towards him. And it's what we need in every area of life that we're involved in. If you're a student or whatever it is that you're doing, you need those kinds of prayers. So it's nothing new or original, but I feel like I've needed all of those ties even stronger than ever before, because you just constantly have a challenge.
And Joy, something for Allison that I love. Allison is very good at saying, hey, we need to speak forgiveness, like right away, even when we don't feel it, right? But in that practice of obedience, in the action, right, your heart will follow in time. And so we speak forgiveness a lot. And also we practice forgiveness when we think we've screwed it up. We try to be the one to go and ask for forgiveness and humble ourselves and say, can you help me? For my daily routine, I'm a worshiper at heart. October 1st, 1996, in one of my first chapels at Huntington, I had an Acts chapter 2 encounter with Jesus. And that's when I went from being a pastor's kid who kind of believed it, to now I knew it. I knew Jesus is who he said he was. I knew he loved me, and he was calling me to lay down my life and follow him. And it's been different ever since. And so I love to spend time in worship. I almost never listen to the radio. I'm always just like singing and spending time with him, as well as like trying to spend time in the word and then in my prayer life. But that helps me just speak things out, let the Holy Spirit take it out of my spirit. He takes it. And we had a word spoken over us at the Belonging Co. on our honeymoon trip coming back, where this woman wanted to give us this word. And you have to take those with a grain of salt, but it was so clear when she began to speak. She did not know hardly anything about us. And she saw us in the halls of power, walking through these halls, bursting these doors open and shining a light in. And then I would go in and clean it up. And then Allison, you were the one shining the light. And then she saw us in the gym working out. And I was like, well, that's a good word, because I need help with that. The heaviest weight at the gym is the front door, right? Okay. So But she saw us working out, and we were sweating, but she said it wasn't sweat, it was oil. And she said, nothing the devil throws at you is going to stick. And we have needed that, because as people slander you, you know, and the thing is, a lot of it we don't care about, but when it gets in the realm where it's hurting our witness, we agreed in our, when we were dating, that we will never trade any of our favor for something worldly if we could have saved it for something related to the kingdom, right? Like, if this is going to hurt me coming to you in any way to talk about the Lord, then I'm not going to do it. Wherever we go, we've really just wanted that fragrance of the knowledge of him to come with us through the door. And that is, those promises, that promise that we got, not just from scripture, but also from like that word, we have really rested in that joy in our journey.
Thank you. During the outpouring, I remember Allison seeing you guys sit right over here. And you've had a lot of experiences at Asbury and participation in Asbury. And I wonder, how did God meet you both in the outpouring?
That's a tremendous question. So the outpouring occurred during my election. So it was election for auditor. And that's the season of time when everybody knows you don't do anything else but campaign. Like, that's all you do, because it's all you've got time for, and you have to maximize every moment. But my dad, who's here, he's on the board of trustees of Asbury, and he was here in the 1970 revival. And I'd always heard tremendous stories about that. So the day after the chapel service, that night I heard about God was doing here. And so the next day I said, I'm going to take time out of the campaign trail, and I've got like an hour or so. I'm going to come over and I'm going to stand over there. Joy, you remember I was right over there. And the Lord just met me so powerfully, like he did everybody else who came into Hughes during the outpouring. And I ended up staying for 3 hours. And I had a chamber dinner to go to in Lexington. I remember debating, like, do I go to this chamber dinner or do I just stay here? I'd rather stay here. But I felt like the Lord was saying, no, I also have called you to be involved in your ministry of what you're doing. So I want you here right now at the outpouring at the chapel, and now I want you to go to the chamber. And when I got to the chamber, I started telling everybody about what God was doing here at Asbury. And several people came over and ended up coming at some point during that period of time. But as I was sitting right over there, I really felt very clearly the Lord said, you know, I put you involved in politics, and that's good, and you're supposed to be doing that, but that's not the big thing. The big thing that really matters is your relationship with me, following Jesus, and drawing people to Jesus. And I remember I sort of had like this beeline in my mind to right here of the altar. And in my mind, like, this was Jesus here in this area. And like, I'm supposed to be pointing people to Jesus here. So I actually ended up coming back about 5 times over the campaign trail. Everybody thought I was crazy for not going to campaign events. I told all the other constitutional officers that I knew who were running, like, you got to get over to Asbury. At least one other person came over. I was texting politicians from across the country, like, you got to get over here. You can stay at our house. You can come. But it was just a tremendous reminder about, like, it's all about Jesus. It's my relationship with Jesus, and it's pointing other people to Jesus so they can have a relationship with him too.
Yeah, I only got to come once. I came on the fourth day, February 11th. I was right over there. Joy, for me, what the outpouring did is, Allison, it's really hard when it's your spouse, you know, like, that's being attacked. It's a lot easier. It's easier when it's just you, because you handle it. But when you watch, like, because Allison is a pillar of integrity. Like, I never, ever worry about that for her. And to hear her integrity getting slandered and just, you know, by people who don't know her, they're just trying to win. But standing over there and then being able to just, like give this to the Lord and have him bring it out. And then the band started to play Rest on Us. And that is the song that I associate with the outpouring, is just asking him to come rest on us. So it was crucial in helping us, Joy, navigate, like, not just being bitter all the time and angry, but trusting him. And, you know, we had days, right, like, where we didn't do very well with it. But then the other thing is, I told Allison one night, because a lot of times, you all, we have to speak at the same time, because 5 counties in Kentucky will have their dinner on the same night. They don't coordinate. And they all say, well, we only want Allison. And then I get that. Of course, they want her. She's amazing. But then we're like, well, she can only do one or two because they're spread out. Could we send her plus one to help you? You know, like. And so I told her one night, I said, I was actually going to McKee, Kentucky in Jackson County. And I said, hey, if you don't mind, I'm going to mention the outpouring tonight. And she was like, go right ahead. And you all, I want you to know in that there's not a lot of hope in that realm. There's a lot of anger. People are worried about our country, and we all have different thoughts on how to fix it and where to go. And that's the fight. That's what we're debating. Well, in these rooms, a lot of times it gets pretty heated, especially focused one way against people that they don't like. They don't like what they stand for, whatever. But I want you to know that the moment I began to talk about what God is doing here at the Outpouring, and I said, God has not forgotten us. Look at what God is doing at the Outpouring. I mean, you have Abraham, you know, negotiates the Lord down to 10 people for Sodom and Gomorrah. Just if there's 10 righteous ones, God would have spared the city. And there's more than 10 here. And there would be a change in the atmosphere of the room. The anointing on the Outpouring was so strong that these rooms of politics and government would change. And I would see, and I don't mean everybody, but a lot of people, they'd go like this. And their eyes would begin to brighten, and you would see hope begin to arise. And so that is one way it helped us.
Asa, we just have about 1 minute left. And so I want to ask you both, what do you want students to take away from today?
Well, my thing for you all is just to call you into government. Some of you here right now, I believe the Holy Spirit is stirring in you, and we want to invite you to join us. Lord, send reinforcements. You know, I'm not putting it on the level of like being a missionary in hard parts of the world or the 1040 window, but it is also a tough calling to be a missionary in the halls of power. Who will go to people who are isolated in these towers where nobody can speak truth to them and just love them for who they are, sins and all? So I just want to call it is a noble calling. It is tough, and God is working. You would be amazed at some of the people we've been able to share our stories with and watch them react and just even let us pray for them. You would be so encouraged.
Yeah, I echo everything Asa said. Some of you are called to be involved in government, but you're called to be somewhere. And so hopefully this encourages you that God has a will and a purpose and a plan, and he wants to use you to reach people in those respective areas. So God bless you, and I'm excited about seeing where he puts you and what he wants to do.
And I just want to add one thing to the very end. And remember, it's about the kingdom of God. When we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, we pray, his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as in heaven. So let's thank Asa and Allison this morning.